Let us open our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19, the rich man and Lazarus. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, which is actually pronounced Hades. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Well, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, and this is really the lesson, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Well, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you that we can trust that the word you have given us is without error, that it is infallible, that it is complete for teaching us, that it is complete, and in it is all that is necessary for salvation. Lord, as we look into this passage now this morning, we pray for your instruction by your Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak this word into our hearts and minds in power, that we may be impacted by it, that we may respond in a way that is pleasing to you and that is effective in carrying the gospel to the lost. Amen. In chapter 15 of the Gospel according to Luke, the evangelist recorded three parables, all taught by Jesus while speaking to some Pharisees and scribes, although in the presence, remember, of some tax collectors and sinners. And in those three parables, Jesus spoke of a lost sheep, one of 100, a lost coin, one of 10, and a lost son, one of 2. When the shepherd found his sheep, when the woman found her lost coin, there was great celebration. And Jesus said, I tell you in the same way, the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And as the wayward son repented and came home and was welcomed by his father, Jesus showed us a picture of the welcome every repentant sinner receives from our Heavenly Father when we repent and come to him in faith. So Jesus has taught us, and we never want to lose sight of this all our days, of our Heavenly Father's merciful, forgiving love for his people. First part of chapter 16, Jesus taught a fourth parable, parable of a rich man and a dishonest manager he had employed. And there Jesus was contrasting the ways of the world with the ways of the people of God. He reminded us concerning our manner of life in this world. No one can serve two masters. He's either going to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, Pharisees, Luke tells us, were lovers of money. So they rejected Jesus' words. They scoffed at him. They sneered at him. This is what immoral men do. They respond to the teaching of moral truth with scoffing, with sneering, with derision, with polite rejection. Because they have no other answer to the truth. The gospel is the truth. Jesus' words are truth. But men love their sin, and so they will take any avenue they can imagine to defend their own vices. They seek to cloud their immorality with scoffing, with derision. Now, Jesus has taught us that as His people, it matters how we live. He's called us to be transformed to His image. Therefore, He calls us to act kindly, generously, to work industriously and honestly in our dealings with others. But to always have our eyes set on storing up treasures in heaven. This is why Paul was such a great example for us. We see it every Wednesday night. That's his focus. His focus is eternal. And we must have our eyes set on eternity so that when we come to judgment before God, we may reap the fruit of our deeds. Now, the fifth parable, the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus reminds us of what it is that awaits those wicked men who neglect the care of the poor, indulging themselves in every pleasure, give themselves up to drunkenness or gluttony, while allowing their neighbors to live in hunger. When the means of relieving the hunger of their neighbors are right there in their hands. Chapter 16, verse 19, there was a rich man, and he habitually, he every day put on this fine clothing, purple and fine linen, linen undergarment, purple robe. Joyously living in dazzling splendor, one translates this, every day. Never took a day off from splendor, from celebration. A rich man. Now, does the fact that the man is rich mean he's definitely going to hell? No, Abraham was a rich man. So was Joseph of Arimathea. Nowhere does the Bible say it is a sin to be rich. And we don't read that Abraham or Joseph of Arimathea used their wealth to live in the lap of luxury as this man did. We don't read that Abraham ignored the needs of others. We don't read that he ignored the needs of the poor. We don't read that about Joseph either. But this man, every day, habitually living in the lap of luxury, he's always dressed in the finest of clothing. Purple for the outer garment, linen for the undergarment, every earthly desire fulfilled. He had a life of ease and comfort, dazzling splendor every day. He lived only for himself. He lived as though utterly unaware of, utterly unconcerned with the condition of anybody else, utterly unconcerned about the poverty that was laying right at his gate. His whole life was one of self-indulgence. There are such people. There have always been such people in the world. Now, in the parable, there was another man, a very poor man, a man who was suffering. Lazarus was his name. He was laid. Somebody brought him and dumped him at the gate of this rich man. He was covered with sores. He was longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. And the dogs were coming up and licking his sores as they would their own. This is all we know about Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus whom Jesus raised after he'd been dead for 4 days. That Lazarus appeared to be a man of at least some means. He had many friends. This Lazarus is the only man in any of Jesus' parables who's given a name by Jesus. Lazarus is a shortened version, by the way, of Eleazar or Eleazaros from the Old Testament. He was a priest. It means God is help. God is help. So he's covered with sores. And we remember from the Gospel of John, the Jews saw somebody who had some sort of physical malady as giving indication that they had displeased God. Who sinned? This fellow or his parents, they asked of the blind man. But what we're going to see here in Lazarus is a proof that we should not view troubles, suffering in this world as a sign that someone is accursed by God. We tend to think that way. Lord, take this away. Even Paul prayed, God, 3 times take away this thorn in my flesh. But we know where Paul is today.